Okay, so...
May I speak to the motion?
Yes, I was just going to say, Mr. Eustace, did you want to do that?
Yeah. I think in the first briefing I submitted in this case, I pointed out the longstanding standard. The SEPA policies require full consideration of environmental factors. This is from the Norway Hill decision. And the court goes on, as a result, a reviewing court, or hearing examiner, I would add, will always have a complete record upon which to review a negative threshold determination. And that's part of language the examiner has probably seen time and time again. We do not yet have a complete record upon which this determination was rendered. So far, the record consists of, well, the determination itself, the environmental checklist, the five documents referred to in the checklist, and then we, of course, have the survey, the results of the two public meetings, and, according to Mr. Welch, we have hundreds of emails which he has put in a folder, and I would guess this to be a digital folder. And so of these documents, we have those, plus we have the disks that were provided that include the dot votes at the public meetings, but we do not have the hundreds of emails in Mr. Welch's folder. We have submitted a request for the documents upon which the threshold determination was rendered. That was submitted July 8th. Admittedly, 1 month after the notice of appeal was filed, but it was only several days after counsel for Queen Anne appeared. Prior to that, they were represented pro se. So this was roughly 3 months ago. These documents exist. They appear to exist in a discrete folder and were given disclosure dates, and these disclosure dates, we've been given three. One was August. They're roughly a month apart. One was August 12, just 3 weeks before the hearing, when they didn't produce them. That is the emails, the correspondence. Another date was given effectively 2 weeks after the last day of the hearing. And then when the hearing was continued, we had another date that was given, which is... now, 2 weeks after, 2 weeks after today. These dates are always conveniently after the conclusion of the hearing. But the point is, we still do not have a complete record. So what's the importance of having the record? Well, as Mr. Kaplan testified, some of the representations as to public sentiment do not coincide with their actual votes. I'm referring to the dot votes. There is a discrepancy between what is being represented and what was actually gathered. We don't know what these emails say. They do exist in apparently a discrete folder. We see no reason why they cannot be produced. As a curative measure, we're asking that the hearing be continued until after they are actually produced, and that probably Mr. Welch be made available for examination on those. But until I see them, I can't determine whether that's necessary. So that's the basis for the request.
Okay. Before you respond, Mr. Winland, let me ask a question, and that is, why did we go to hearing at all if you didn't have your documents from your public disclosure request?
Because it was initially represented that they would be produced August 12, I think.
Right, but then they weren't, and we went ahead with the hearing, and it seems odd to me that you're asking now rather than then. Why didn't we continue the whole hearing? It seems segmenting it is awkward, to say the least.
It is. I understood the hearing, both the city's desire to have this hearing. And I guess not to prolong the proceeding. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for an extension at that time.
Okay. It's sort of baffling to me exactly how we would conduct the rest of the hearing and how we would know what it was on, because you don't know. And you're asking for emails as well as correspondence, right? If there's any written correspondence, it's not electronic emails. I mean, that's what it says.
Yes.
Okay, and so we don't know about that either. Okay, so Mr. Wendland.
So how we would do this, I think what we would do is suspend, essentially,
continue
the hearing until a date. I would like at least a week to review these documents, and then I would let the examiner and the parties know whether it's necessary to call Mr. Welch to examine him on this and or not. And at the very least, I would anticipate making a selection from these documents to introduce into the record.
Okay, and I would expect if we did that, that the parties would confer as to what the issues were going to be and what documents we're going to be talking about.
Sure.
Because I envision any emails and correspondence is just, the usual, where it raises all sorts of other questions and brings in other people. And because there's not necessarily just correspondence between Mr. Welch and Mr. Wendland. So, anyway.
True.
To
respond to that concern, if I could.
Yes.
So, the focus of the inquiry is that made in preparation of the environmental checklist and the DNS, which concerns Mr. Welch and Mr. Wendland.
Right. And potential outside consultants and who knows what. But anyway. All right, Mr. Wendland.
Yeah. Try not to recap too much of what we put in the response.
I did read it.
I think it's there. But I would like to just underscore that OPCD does believe that we did respond to the public records request, on August 9th when we provided the 1,220 electronic files. And, it honestly was not clear to us that this records request, as it was worded, was interested in matters of correspondence. So we really feel like, that supplementation request was an expansion of the initial records request. And I, the way that Mr. Eustace just characterized the request in terms of a discrete set of emails, specifically on kind of the public comments from the public meetings, is not the way his supplementation request reads. It reads to be much more expansive concerning communications between Councilman O'Brien and staff, the mayor's office and staff. So it seems like a real expansion of their initial request. And due to the breadth of the supplementation request, that's why when we looked at the volume of what that would encompass to be responsive to the to this request, it was a lot bigger than we thought. Couple thousand of emails, and the only reason we didn't make the initial estimated time we provided was because it's a large quantity that needs to be looked through.
Okay. So what is the scope here of what you're asking for? I do see the department's pretty literal reading of the request, but I also see, an attorney who's done this a lot. And when I read the request, documents containing the following information concerning the legislature, and then you list what it is, and I guess the word that you were relying upon is all data, right, upon which the determination was rendered. So, what's the scope of what you're asking for now?
Well, I think that the department understands the scope in that.
Well, they're concerned about the breadth of the scope, isn't it?
Okay. But they have, initially these documents were going to be provided on September 16th, and the department, on that date, the department said, We can have them to you by the end of the day on September 16th. And then 7 hours later, the department said, we need to have these reviewed by an attorney. Oh, it's going to take us a month. So they've already collected this discrete, this set of documents. They know
I just don't want to run into it again, that it isn't what you want. So have you discussed this? Do we know that it's responsive to everything that you are asking for?
Well, I don't.
I know you don't know, but
I don't know.
That's why I'm.
Since this is the kind of the third attempt to get these documents.
The other thing that, you know, I think is important to point out is that a large extent of the body of emails, in our view, are things completely irrelevant to this hearing. You know, communications about, you know, things like setting up meeting times between staff, you know, just routine communications between council office and staff, timing issues, you know, it just runs the gamut of a huge breadth of potential topics in that body of emails. You know, probably a vast percentage are not at all relevant to ADUs and DADUs.
But they're all in one file, right? That's what Mr. Welch said.
What Mr. Welch referred to was public comment emails in one file from the public meetings. I mean, that would be something we'd be more than willing to send over.
Yeah, and see, that's probably not all that you're asking for. You're asking for all the emails that relate to, in any way, basically, the proposal.
Right. And my understanding is those have been collected, and they exist because they did exist on September 16th.
Okay, so let's just go with that. I mean, if they're irrelevant, they're irrelevant. I don't necessarily get anything that's irrelevant, and I will exclude it. But they're the ones that get to go through it, right?
Okay.
Figure out what's relevant and what's not. This is really difficult schedule-wise for all of us, and it has been going on a long time. I will tell you, Mr. Wendlandt, that cases that are scheduled in the summer often tend to be this way, and we've had other cases that were CEPA-related concerning legislation where the department was the one asking for all the continuances. So, in any event, they got them. So I'll tell you, there's nothing in October. So we are looking at, there are three dates that I could probably work it in.
Could I just ask a question?
Yes.
Does continuance necessarily mean that there has to be a continuance of the hearing versus
no.
just evidence on the record? We're also concerned that, you know, of opening up new rounds of.
Everybody gets to reload, I know. But anyway, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have to be a hearing. What we need to find out is whether there does need to be. And what I'd like both of you to do is, well, you, Mr. Eustace in particular, is once you get these documents, tell me what it is you're asking for. In the meantime, I'm going to continue the hearing date to hold it, and then we'll see what we've got. I mean, it may be that you don't necessarily have to examine Mr. Welch. It may be that you, send in some type of a document with a lot of attachments, and Mr. Wendlandt gets to respond to it. We'll just have to figure out how to do this. We may not need to get together. But as far as opening up new topics, is that what you're concerned about?
I mean, I have to admit I don't fully understand the procedures, but it does seem like we had a full hearing. And is this, starting from square one again, or is this...
If we had a hearing, it would be starting from square one on the information in those documents.
Okay.
And that's it. And then when you're briefing, you're going to have to figure out how to put that all together. But anyway, so a date that I could hold would be the 1st of November, the 7th of November, 1st of November, 4th of November, 7th of November.
And I would be available on any of those dates.
Okay, and I would hold a half a day at maximum.
Okay.
Mr. Wentlent, what do you think?
I'm pretty sure I'm available any of those dates.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and do it on the first. That's the soonest day. All right. So, Mr. Eustace, you get the documents, the department gives them to you, and then I appreciate something, a communication from you telling us where we need to go next.
Okay, and then do you want that communication, let's say?
It can be by email.
Okay.
Copy to everybody. Hearing examiner email.
So, in principle, I guess I would get the documents on October 14th.
Do you have, is that for sure from the law, folks?
I'm pretty sure, but I can't say I'm entirely sure.
Who are you working with?
I don't really even know.
Okay.
I mean, Bob Tobin has advised us on some of this.
Okay, all right. So you get the documents on the 14th?
Sure. Okay. And so what if I report back on October 24th?
Okay.
Which is the Monday. It's not the following Monday, but a week later.
October 24th. And that's a week plus a day before we would get together and hear if we need to.
Yes.
All right. Okay. That's what we'll do then. The hearing is continued to November 1st, 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.